at the foot of the throne, praising the Savior who brought us safe home. Praising and adoring His ever-blessed name, the great Lamb of Calvary, forever the same. We are home.
We are home.
Safely home.
Yes, we are home.
One,
we are home.
For years we had lived in a place not our own, occupied country, the enemy's throne. Never belonging and so out of place, constantly striving to finish this race.
Now we are standing as trophies of grace,
a glimpse of His face. The veil has been lifted, the glass has been cleared. With loud hallelujah,
the King has appeared.
We are home.
We are home.
Safely home.
Yes, we are home.
The sacrifice given, my sins all forgiven.
Calvary has won.
How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
We are home.
We are home.
Safely home.
Yes, we are home.
The sacrifice given, my sins are forgiven.
Calvary has won.
The Green family. We're at home. Seems like the theme today in our preaching service and our singing has been about heaven. And boy, it's not bad to think about heaven, is it? Old Dr. John R. Rice was witnessing to a man one time, and this man said, "If you ever say that again to me, I'll kill you." And Dr. Rice said, "Sir, you can't threaten me with heaven." Thank God what we have to look forward to. Well, tonight, this afternoon, I had a little crisis, an orthodontal crisis. I think that's the word. I was eating lunch and something felt different, and I looked down in my hand and my front tooth had broken off and was in my hand. And I panicked. When I look good up here, you're looking to see if you can see a missing tooth, aren't you? I saw you. Yes. Yeah, I saw you. So I thought, man, if I try to preach like this night, nobody but those from Arkansas will listen to me. Everybody else will be distracted. So I called on the phone. Oh, my soul, I'm going to get phone calls and emails this week. That's all right. We love you. But I called Brother Todd, and I said, "Brother Todd, I need your help. You got to preach tonight." And so I think he'd been praying that something like that would happen, so I'd have to call him to preach. But nevertheless, he came through, and he's going to be ready to preach in just a moment. But I said, "What am I going to do? Even if I go to church tonight with that missing, It's going to be terribly embarrassing. And so I found my trusty super glue. And when I was a boy growing up on the farm, it was baling wire. Then after baling wire, it was duct tape. And now then, thank God for super glue. Amen. But because of that, you get to hear Brother Laster preach tonight. Brother Laster, we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Come and preach to us, sir.
All right, preacher, thank you very much. And it was kind of a shock this afternoon to be called about 2 o'clock. And, you know, you have to kind of think about something here and think about these things. But it has, at least I remember several years ago, the preacher probably remembers this. At least 2 o'clock, I had about 5 hours. I remember several years ago, I probably hadn't been on staff but 2 or 3 years, and he called me in the morning, I mean, deathly ill. You remember that, preacher? Called me in the morning. At that time, I had about an hour and 30 minutes. So, but I appreciate being able to stand his confidence to be able to call and ask me to preach tonight. Now, we're on a tight schedule tonight, so we're not going to be here long. Tonight's Workers' Appreciation Night. And I begin to think about that. And, you know, when you're in a church for any length of time, you've heard the preacher say this many times, but when you're in a church any length of time, you see a lot of people come and a lot of people go. You know, the sad thing is, in just a little bit, when we have people stand that are workers in this church, I hate to say this, but some that will stand in 2008 won't be part of the group that stood here in 2007. Just like there are some that stood in 2006 that aren't here to stand tonight. And that's the sad thing about being in ministry and stuff. But folks, listen to me. You know, we sung about heaven, preached about heaven, all these things today. And can I say something? The Church of the Living God is a little heaven on earth for us. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach to you tonight about what you miss by not being at church. What you miss by not being at church. Take your Bible, if you would, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you would, please. John chapter number 20. Once you find your place, you can stand with me. John chapter 20. And beginning in verse number 19, and we're going to have to jump right in the middle of this because we don't have, for time's sake, we're not going to read the whole chapter. But just shortly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples and the apostles, I should say, were gathered together. Beginning in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week." Which day is that? All right, not Monday now. All right, and I hate to disappoint some of you, but Sunday is the first day of the week. So it says they were gathered on Sunday when the doors were shut where the disciples. That's another scripture, isn't it? I think that's being doers somewhere. I think that's somewhere else. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now listen to this very carefully. "Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now folks, let me stop and just say this. There's a lot of things happening here right now. A lot of things going on here right now. And you know where it all took place? On the first day of the week. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of things happening here right now because Jesus showed up. Then it says, "Whosoever," verse 23, "sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But listen to verse 24. But that means we're fixing to change direction here because somebody was not at church. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Did you see that? Now, can I say something to you? We're not talking about just some guy that showed up the day before this. We're talking about somebody that didn't show up when Jesus met with them. And he says, I'll not believe until I feel the prints of the nails in his hand. Now, something happened to Thomas because he didn't show up. Now, the thing about it is, I'm convinced the reason we have a lot of faithless believers is because too many of them don't show up enough at church. And Thomas became faithless. Now, look what else it says, verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. He's there now. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not, what's the next word? Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed. And I want to preach to you for just a few moments that we have together tonight on this Workers' Appreciation Sunday night about what you miss by not being at church. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord, I'm grateful to be at church. I'm thankful that I have had the privilege and health tonight to be here. And I ask you, Lord God, that you'd meet with us, because, Lord, there's so many things that we miss out on when we're not at church. So many things are happening. Lord, there's more going on tonight than just the preaching of the Word of God. There's things happening in hearts. There's supernatural things happening that the eye cannot see tonight. And yet, Lord, when we miss out on church, we miss out on some of these things. Would you help us tonight to understand the importance of church and the importance of being here? And we'll certainly give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Not too long ago, my wife and children took a trip back around Christmas time, took a trip back to our hometown in Mississippi, and I didn't go with them. Now, it's kind of a standing thing that when my family goes back home, and normally we stay with my wife's parents, and normally the standing thing is that when they know that we're coming, my wife's dad, by the way, whose name's Bo, and I'll tell you that there's some significance to what I'm about to tell you here in just a second. But there's a standing thing that when he knows that I'm coming, or he knows our family's coming, he prepares some of the most incredible barbecue ribs ever put in a human being's mouth. Now, he does that when he knows I'm coming and he knows our family's coming. Well, my wife and kids got to go, and I did not go this time. Now, let me tell you what I missed out on. I missed out on some of the best barbecue ribs ever put into a human being's mouth. Now, the thing about it, you say, well, what's so unique about these barbecue ribs? Well, let me say something to you. He concocts his own barbecue sauce. Now, the thing about it is, he don't call it barbecue sauce. He calls it bobecue sauce. Now, let me say something. I promise you, that barbecue sauce and those ribs are better than any barbecue I've had in this area. But the thing about it is, by not going with my family this time, I missed out on that. I missed out on something I wanted and probably needed. But hey, listen, can I say something to you? When you don't come to church and you miss church, you're going to miss something you need. And the very night that you miss will be the very thing that you needed for your life at that particular time. Now, I've talked to people enough. I've been in ministry long enough, and I've talked to people enough that say, well, Brother Todd, you don't understand. It's not going to hurt me to miss one church service. It's not going to hurt me to... Hey, let me tell you something. If you've ever tasted these ribs, you would never want to miss it again. And I'm telling you, it hurt to wave at my wife and kids because I knew what they were going to get. And listen, you know how bad it was? They called me while they were eating. No, I think it was your dad that called me. He said, hey, you know what we're doing? I said, I really at this particular time don't care what you're doing. I knew what they were doing. They were eating them ribs, you see. And the thing about it is, he called me to remind me what I was missing out on. He called me to remind me, hey, you could have had this if you'd have come. But you chose not to come, and so you're missing out on these ribs. Now let me tell you something. Like I said, I've been around long enough in ministry to know that most people who miss church miss it for selfish reasons. They don't miss it many times because of providential reasons. They miss it because of selfish reasons. They miss it because of a number of different things. And let me tell you something. Can I say this to you tonight? You may try to excuse the Lord out of your life. You may try to eliminate Him, estrange Him. But let me tell you something. You will never escape Him. Ever escape Him. He will find you. You'll never escape Him. But I found out that, you know, there's a number of things that keep people out of church. Sometimes it's just simple things like power. You say, I don't have any power. You'd be amazed how much power you have and how much influence you have. Let me tell you something about power. Power is a strange thing. It's a controller. And let me tell you what power will do to you. Power, and I'm talking about, I've seen it happen in some of the best people. What power will do, power will cause you to say things you don't mean. It'll cause you to do things you don't believe. And let me tell you something else it'll do. It'll cause you to go places you've never been. That's what it'll do. And all of a sudden, usually you say, well, how do you get this power? Well, some get it through success. Some get it through money, position, authority. And boy, I'm telling you, we exercise these things. Listen, all I'm trying to say to you tonight, church, is these are some of the things that keep us from coming to church. Now, can I say this to you? The older that I get in the Lord, I realize I need more church, not less church. Now, listen, let me say this to you. I don't need church to go to heaven. But I do need church to grow. And you show me somebody that is absent from the house of God, I'll show you somebody that's not growing in the Lord. You and I need the church. We need it to grow. And all I'm saying to you, listen, folks, we have an opportunity by attending church and being faithful. By the way, do you know that's the only way you're going to become a worker in this church? You've got to be faithful. You've got to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Last time I checked, our schedule's been the same ever since I've been on staff, except for a time change. Usually we meet about three times a week. Huh? We meet about three times a week. You say, oh, Brother Todd, what am I missing? Just if I miss one service, I'm glad you asked. Here's the first thing you miss. Number one, you miss a meal. Now, the thing about it is, if I came to most of you and I told you, I said, listen, Mama's only going to cook twice a day from now on. Not going to cook three times a day, going to cook twice a day. You say, well, why? Well, because that's just the way it is. She's just going to fix two meals a day. You say, but I'm used to three meals a day. Well, you're just getting two from now on. Now listen to me, most of you would raise Cain. Guys, amen? If your wife told you, hey, I'm only fixing two meals a day now. Now listen to me, and you listen. The very people who don't aren't faithful to church, if the preacher stood up and said, I just want y'all to know we're canceling Wednesday night services, we're only going to have church twice a week now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, they'd be the first one to call and write. What are y'all doing? You lost your mind? What do you mean canceling Wednesday night service? They'd be the first ones to call. But can I say something to you? Too many of us don't think it important enough to be here to eat every time the meal served. Now listen, I'm going to say something to you. My mama can cook. She can cook. And can I say this to you? It doesn't matter what the... It doesn't matter if it's breakfast. It doesn't matter whether it's lunch or dinner. That's the middle of the day. And then, or whether it's supper. I knew one thing. If I came home and mama's cooking, it's going to be good. You know, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be good. It's not going to be something store-bought. It's going to be something homemade. You know what I mean? And let me tell you something. I saw her batter chicken and throw it down in that bowl and roll it around and throw it in. Listen, she didn't go buy it already pre-battered. I knew, you know what? It's going to be good. And let me tell you something. Do you know your pastor labors and prays over messages, and he comes to the pulpit after he's rolled and battered the Word of God and he's ready to serve it up? You say, but what if it's, I've come to church, I've heard all the messages. Let me tell you something. I don't know what it's going to be about next time he preaches, but let me tell you something. It's going to be good. That, you know why? It's good for you. Whatever it is, it's going to be good. I'm just here to tell you that tonight, that by, when we miss church, we miss a meal. Yeah, we miss a meal. And let me tell you something. We'd throw a fit if we went home and supper wasn't on the table or lunch on the table and say, oh, we're not eating that meal today. Wouldn't we? Amen? Yeah, we would. You say, well, what else do I miss by going to church? Well, by missing church. Well, can I say something to you? Let me show you what Thomas missed by not showing up. Look at, if you would, in chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse number 19. The scripture says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Remember the Bible talks about, it goes on down here about Thomas, and Jesus later on told him, says, and be not faithless. Let me tell you what we miss when we miss church. The service you miss intentionally for selfish reasons will be the service you miss a supernatural visit by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, he's not going to visit in this shape, form, or fashion. Let me tell you something. He did this morning. Amen. You know why I know that? Because I saw somebody get saved this morning that I didn't think was going to get saved. And what happened was a supernatural thing happened. See, you see, after the message, Jesus showed up, and a supernatural presence of God showed up, and the old boy came down the aisle. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you miss, you're going to miss a supernatural visit by Jesus, what you're going to miss. And let me tell you something. You don't think Thomas regretted that? And listen, thank God he got another opportunity. Thank God he had another chance. But can I say something to you tonight? Some of this, somebody in here tonight, this may be your last service. You may not have another service. And all I'm saying to you is, listen, when we miss church, you may miss a supernatural visit by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you number three. When we miss church, you may miss a moving of the Spirit of God. Let me show you something. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. All right, look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Acts 2, verse 1. All right, everybody find your place. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And what? Suddenly. By the way, they didn't advertise the Spirit of God was showing up. No, it happened suddenly. And let me tell you something. You know what? It might happen tonight. And think about all the folks missing out on it. Now, the Bible says, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as in the fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen, folks. By missing church, let me tell you what you might miss out on. You might miss out on a moving of the Spirit of God. You might miss out when the sermon's preached. You might miss out on the Spirit of God convicting you and speaking to you if we're saved. Amen? Because he ain't... Listen, the thing about it is there may be some here tonight that don't think he's speaking to you about getting saved. But listen, when we come, we may miss... Or when we miss out, we may miss the supernatural visit by Jesus. We may miss a moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, I'm just telling you, if all of this is something I can have, I want it. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be to miss out on anything the Lord has for me. All right, so listen, we may miss out on a meal if we miss. We may miss out on a supernatural visit by Jesus. We may miss out on the moving of the Holy Ghost. Can I say to you, number four, you may miss an opportunity to be encouraged. I have never in my life understood this. And if somebody can explain this to me, set an appointment with me and explain this to me. People get discouraged about things. And when they get discouraged about things, the very place they need to be is the house of God. And you know where they are tonight? At home. You know what they're missing by not being at church? They're missing an opportunity to be encouraged. They're missing the opportunity to be encouraged in the things of God. Listen, so the people of God will say, listen, I'm praying for you. I understand what you're going through. I know what you're going through. We're praying for you. They need that. And the very thing they need, they're not even here for. They miss the opportunity to be encouraged by the people of God. Number five. When we miss church, we miss an opportunity to give. We miss an opportunity to give. Now, let me say something right here. Stop and just pause here for just a second. You've heard our preacher teach us that every born-again believer has at least one spiritual gift. I think I know the scriptures well enough to say I'm not sure that he wants you to hoard that gift, though. I think he wants you to give that out. I think he wants you to do something with that spiritual gift that he has allowed you to have. And listen, some of you have multiple gifts. Multiple gifts. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to show up church and give them out. He wants you to show up church and give out what He has blessed your life with. You know what? By missing church, we miss an opportunity to give, to opportunity to be a blessing to other people, to encourage other people, to minister to other people, to pray for other people. Number six. Next, when we miss out on church, we miss the opportunity to worship. Now, let me stop there and say this about this. How many times have you ever met people say, I worship at home? You ever met somebody like that? Oh, yeah, I worship at home. Now, let me say something about that. I'm not saying they can't worship at home. What I'm saying is most people don't worship at home. Now, when we meet together like this, you know what this encourages me to do? This group of people tonight, it encourages me to worship. Because we're in a group, we're in a crowd like this, all of one accord, one heart, one mind. We're here for a reason tonight. And that reason is to worship the Lord. And I'm just saying to you, listen, by not being, I miss out on opportunity to worship. I don't know about you, but I need all the worship I can get. I need it. And so do you. You see, when we miss church, we miss out on these things. Let me give you one last thing, that's this. When I miss church, I may miss God's direction about His will for my life. People sometimes say, Brother Todd, how do you know what the will of God is for your life? Now listen, I've never counseled anybody about this, but I'm tempted to. I'm tempted to counsel them and say, well, tell you what, if you will increase your church attendance about 99%, you probably find what the will of God is. Probably can, because here's what's going to happen. The pastor's going to stand up, and he's going to preach a message. Now listen to me, and here's what you're looking for. You're looking for that piece of God's will, that piece of the puzzle that's going to fit that last little part of God's will for your life, and you're looking for it. And you know what you do? The night you skip out on church for selfish reasons is the night the preacher has laid the piece of puzzle right there for you. That'll be the night that in that message, the piece of the puzzle is presented to you and to me. I'm just here to tell you, that, folks, listen, Thomas, I think if he had it all to do all over again, he'd have changed some things. And the reason the Scripture says, I believe the Holy Spirit put it in here plain for us, Jesus told him, and be not faithless. Say, oh Lord, increase my faith. All right, increase your church attendance. Increase your activity. Increase, listen, if you'll start increasing and I start increasing some of these things, let me tell you what we'll do. You know what I'll do? I'll find the will of God for my life. There's a piece of the puzzle in a message that's waiting for you, that God's designed for you, and I miss it that night. And then you know what? Then I wonder for weeks and months and maybe even years, still doubting, still thinking, I wonder what the will of God for my life is. You missed the message that had the peace you needed. And some of you folks in here, you love putting puzzles together, right? I know that. I've been to some of your houses and you got a table out there and it's the puzzle table. And I mean, you've got thousands of pieces. Now, if it's ever happened like it's happened at my house, my mom's a professional puzzle piecer together. And she loves that. Now, she'll put a puzzle together, and listen, the smaller the piece, the better she likes it. So she'll get them 10,000-piece puzzles. I mean, I'm talking about where the piece of the puzzle about this big. You know what kind of puzzles I like? I like the ones that they get for the little kids that are wooden ones. That's only about 4 or 5 pieces, and I can have that thing together in a matter of seconds. But my mom likes the 10,000-piece puzzles. And she'll put that thing, I mean, she'll sit there for hours and hours and hours. And let me tell you something. As it starts narrowing down to where it's 5 pieces, 4 pieces, 3, 2, and she's got that last piece. And I can remember as a kid her putting the last piece into some of these puzzles. She would either clap or she'd yell, ho ho! Now, at that particular point, I was not a puzzle piecer together person. So it didn't mean a whole lot to me. But let me tell you something. The day I heard the message with the piece of the puzzle that I needed to find the will of God for my life, you know what I did? Yes! Amen. And you know what I understood? I understood what Mom was talking about. That's what I understood. I understood, yes! This is the piece of the puzzle I've been looking for. But let me tell you, you know where it came through? A message. And thank God I was there when the piece was delivered. Now, I'm just saying to you tonight, church, that there's going to be some folks that are here under the sound of my voice tonight that's going to stand in just a moment when we acknowledge our workers. And I'm sad to say that some that will stand in 2007 will not be here to stand in 2008. You know why I know that? Because there's some that stood in 2006 and are not here in 2007. And that's sad. But I think I can narrow it down to one thing. Miss church too much. Miss church too much. And when you miss. Now, I'm not talking about being providentially hindered. And by the way, I don't have time to explain all the things that fall under providentially hindered. You said, now what? Just what? Explain that. Just what you talking about? A providentially hindered. Well, if you hadn't figured out what providentially means, then I don't have time to explain that. But I can say this. You increase your church attendance, and you be faithful. You say, Brother Todd, I already am. Wonderful. Don't let it go. Because there will be everything this year that will pull at you and try to drag you away from service after service after service, and you listen to me, and then you will be the very one that will say, well, I'm only missing. What can that hurt? What can it hurt? You're going to miss a meal that you need. That's what you're going to miss. Listen, you're going to miss a supernatural manifestation and meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ in a service. You're going to miss a moving in the Holy Ghost of God that you and I need in our life. You're going to miss it. Now, some tonight, you're seeking the will of God. I know you are because I've talked to you. You're seeking, Brother Todd, what's the will of God? Pastor, what's the will of God? And you've talked, you've counseled with the pastor, you've talked, Brother Todd, Brother Cliff, Brother Sam, what's the will of God? I need to find the will of God. Let me tell you what you do. Increase your church attendance. Be here every time the doors are open unless you're providentially hindered. Now, you see, Jesus point blank told Thomas. He says, now, touch the nail scars. Put your hand in my side. He says, now, and be not faithless. And you know what Thomas did? He had a little worship experience. He fell down and said, my Lord, my God. I'm just telling you tonight, church, listen. You're going to miss some things. Some things that you think may not be that important. You think, well, preacher, it's just one service. I'm telling you, it'll be the service that the piece of the puzzle is delivered for the will of God for your life. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Todd, I'm one of those seeking the will of God for my life. I want to know God's will. I want to know what it is. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe you're here tonight and you're confused. Maybe you don't know what direction to go. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in your heart and your mind, you're in turmoil. But you say, Brother Todd, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. My counsel to you is be in church as much as you possibly can. But you're here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, that's me. I want to know the will of God so bad. Maybe you're confused. Maybe whatever's going on. But you say, I want to know the will of God for my life. Would you pray for me? Don't you slip your hand up way up high? Just say, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Just keep them up. Slip them up, slip them up, slip them up. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. All right, you can put your hands down. Can I say this to you? Don't miss a service if at all possible. Be here as much as you possibly can. Maybe you're here tonight. You see, Brother Todd, I must confess that there has been times that I probably could have been at church if I really wanted to, but I didn't come. But I want, from this day forward, I want to establish right now that I'm going to do my best to be at church at every service I possibly can attend, because I don't want to miss out on anything. But you're here tonight and you'd confess and say, Brother Todd, listen, that's me. There's some services I could have been at, but I chose not to be. But tonight I want to rededicate myself to be faithful to the house of God. If you're like that, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Todd, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, slip your hand up, slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands tonight. I ask you that tonight that you'd work in every heart. Lord, I don't want these folks to miss a single meal that you have prepared for them. And every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, our pastor stands having prepared a meal to present for us and to give us. And Lord, we need to be here to eat it. We need to be here to partake of it. Because what shall be in that meal could possibly be piece of the puzzle for the will of God. It could possibly be the moving of the Spirit of God that some of us need in our life to shake us, Lord, about your will for our life. Maybe there's some here that are struggling. Maybe some tonight, Lord, that raise their hand are struggling in this area of just being faithful to the house of God. They could be. Sometimes they've chose not to be. Help them to do right. I realize, Lord, we've got some people in this church that work long, long hours. I realize that. But I and this entire staff so desperately want to see them grow and want to see them be the best husband or the best wife they can be, the best father, best mother they can be. There's some teenagers here that need to come tonight and rededicate themselves to be the best teenager they can be. There's some young boys and girls that need to come tonight to be the best son or daughter that they can be. Oh Lord, please hear our cry tonight. And we'll give you the glory for what shall be accomplished in this service tonight. In Jesus' name. Now with the heads bowed,